Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So how has the season been? Because I've been following you since the second division. That time when you won Bangalore, I'm based out of Bangalore as well.
Yeah. So, no, it's been good. It's obviously a little bit different to normal. With the COVID-19, it's difficult for everybody, you know, players and, you know, staff, you know, a lot of restrictions for everyone. But, you know, it's just good that we're getting to play at all and train. There's always a bit of doubt that the season might not happen. But I feel, you know, from my point of view, the team's done well. You know, we've you know, changed quite a lot of players this year. We've probably brought in, you know, a lot more new players than what we normally do. So it took us maybe one or two games to get going. We obviously won the IFA Shield, which is a great achievement. You know, the first real national trophy that the club's won, which has been good. You know, the first game against Trow, we got off to probably the worst start in the world. Lost a goal in 9 seconds. So it wasn't the best of starts to this season. But we came back and drew the game. We beat Chennai. And then, you know, obviously against Sudeva, I think we did well enough to win a game, but the problem was they scored a goal from, you know, wonder goal from outside the box. Apart from that, they didn't have many chances. And then, obviously, we played against Gokulam, a good team, and we had a couple of great chances to win the game. Didn't take them, so a draw. You know, we're up there with the pack, which is good.
So, you being a defender, is that the reason why Real Castellón over the years have been so good defensively?
Yeah, well, I think every team that I've played for and coached, we've always got to make sure that defensively were a hard team to beat or to get beat. And, you know, I think, as I say, that the top coaches that I've played with always focus on defending first and make sure that, you know, I think if you don't concede goals, you're always going to get chances to score. I think the first season we had, we were the underdogs and we had the best defensive record, most clean sheets, conceded the least amount of goals. And, you know, teams do find it hard playing against us, which is, you know, it's the way we like it. Although, you know, this season we are creating a lot more chances to score goals. We've just got to make sure we take them. But it's just been a real, what would I say, it's been a real journey. And, you know, our style of play, sometimes we get criticised a little bit, you know, for how we play. But, you know, so far it's been effective.
Absolutely. I don't know why people criticise the style of play, because at the end of the day, you play with what you have, right? And how you want to win. And I think every team, including ISL, would hate to play against the Real Castellón.
Well, it is. I mean, I know last pre-season, you know, there were some issues in Kashmir that we couldn't go back there. So we played about six or seven ISL teams and we lost one game, won one game and drew five games. So we beat Kerala Blasters 1-0. And then we drew 3-3 with Jamshedpur. We drew 2-2, I think, with FC Goa. So, you know, we can score goals against the best and we can defend against the best. So, you know, I think our team, we've got the attitude that we don't fear anyone. You know, I think as long as we are difficult to score on, then we've always got a chance in games.
Can I ask this? What do you assess the quality of the I-League this year? Because you've been there for 3 years now. How do you assess the quality this year? Is it more? Is it less? Because some of the teams look absolutely all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just been hard because, you know, the lack of preparation, it's been very difficult. We're restricted to training as well. You know, we get one training session a day for 90 minutes. You know, you can't go, you know, any longer than that. So it's very difficult. You know, even team meetings can be difficult because of the bubble that we're in. So I think every club's doing the best they can. You know, some clubs were maybe later than in signing players. And obviously the foreign quota has been reduced. It was up to 6 foreign players. Now it's 4 plus, well, 4 including an Asian foreign player. So I think it's just been the situation that we're in. But you can see teams are gelling. But the league is the same as what it always is. You know, on any given day, you know, any team can beat any team or draw with any team. I mean, you look at it now, you know, there's no team. I think Churchill's top of the league at the moment, and they've drawn two games out of five games. So it's, you know, it's this league's all about picking up points, and for some reason it's always been like that. You know, there's a lot of inconsistency with teams within the league. I mean, you look at it last season, you know, before the COVID struck and the league got cancelled, anyone from second to, I think, 10th could have got relegated and or finished second in the league. So it's just a real close league, but I think it's just the team that can just keep picking up points has got the best chance.
So in your, let's talk about the time from Real Kashmir. And I first saw you second division. You came through, won the finals in Bangalore. And then afterwards, you went on to, you know, play at the I-League level. So how was that jump? And is there a dream to jump to the ISL as well? Because you are one of the title favourites after.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, when I first came to India, I didn't know anything about Indian football. You know, so when we embarked on our I-League 2 season, you go and pick players. I had tryouts in Kolkata. Obviously, you talk to some agents. And a lot of the times, it's a bit of a shot in the dark. We had quite a low budget. And, you know, somehow it all worked, it all gelled. You know, I would be, if I'm being honest, we probably had about 12 players that really could have made a difference. And we were fortunate that we didn't have any injuries or very little injuries, that we managed to keep the same squad. And then, you know, when you go to the I-League, you know, again, it's a step up for everyone. And we weren't sure what the level was. We weren't sure, you know, obviously we signed a number of foreign players. Obviously, Mason came over. And again, you know, you're going through word of mouth. You're watching a lot of videos. And it's not until you play the first game. On paper, you might think, oh, this team's got a good chance. You know, our first aim was to stay in the league because you know how difficult it is to get in the league. And, you know, we obviously won the first game against Minerva, which, you know, was a huge bonus considering they were the champions the year before. We beat them 1-0 away from home. So it was a real, you know, great start to the season. And my main focus at that point was to make sure that we were a hard team to get scored on, a hard team to break down. Because, you know, being a new team, if you were to suffer a heavy defeat early on, the confidence, you know, it'd be very difficult to come back. And, you know, the first game we won 1-0 against Minerva, as I said. Then we played Churchill, we drew 0-0 each. And then we lost two home games to, I think it was Mohunbagan and Naroka. And, you know, the atmosphere around the place was, the sky was falling, you know, the coach was getting sacked and, you know, everything's, you know, and I think people forget what happened the season before. You know, I think people have got short memories at times. So I knew that the way we were playing and the players we had a good chance. And I think after that, we went on a 12-game unbeaten run. And, you know, obviously with a game against Minerva Punjab that never took place. And then because of weather and the situation, we had to play our, you know, basically the most important game against East Bengal. We had to play them in New Delhi at Nehru Stadium. So, you know, there's a lot of things against us. But, you know, we finished third. And, you know, obviously last season we wanted to kick on a little bit. You know, we brought in some different players. But, you know, I think every year in the I-League, particularly the first year, you've got no, you think you've got a team that's got a chance or a chance to go and compete. But until it starts, you don't really know. It's a little bit like this season. You know, we've changed a number of players. And, you know, I think we've got a squad, you know, good enough to, you know, be up there come the end of the season. But you just don't know how it's all going to work out, how it's all going to gel. And plus, you don't know what the other teams are going to be. You know, you look at Sid Evers came with no foreign players and we played against him. Very tough team. And, you know, I think they drew with Punjab. So, as I say, it's, you know, teams will make it difficult for you. I think, you know, player for player, we've probably got one of the best squads in the league. But, you know, it's OK saying that. You know, sometimes it's the team spirit that, you know, wins you championships, wins you games, as opposed to the level of player you've got.
So you signed Amiri, who's been around for a long time this season, and Dipanda also. In the first thought, I didn't think of him as a Real Kashmir player. So is this an evolution from your squad?
Yeah, it is. Well, obviously, we want to try and add certain things. You know, I think one thing we missed over the years is, you know, and any league we've played in is a natural goal scorer. You know, and Depand has been the top goal scorer, I think, three out of the last 4 years in the I-League. You know, Amiri's obviously an experienced player. He's versatile. He can play in a number of positions. And I felt that was important with the new foreign role. You know, the restrictions. Obviously, he comes as an Asian foreign player as well, which helps. And I think he fits into our style of play. But, you know, we obviously have a lot of Avanan back. We've got Depanda and obviously Amiri. And we've bought Pritesh from, you know, he's been around the leagues in Goa, played in the ISL. And I think the one thing that we lacked was a bit of experience in the team. And I think, you know, I think that's what we've... I think we missed a goal scorer and we missed a bit of experience in the team. So I think, you know, the players who signed have certainly improved that. I think last season, you know, when we were in winning positions, or even positions when we were drawing the game, you know, sometimes we'd lose the odd goal and lose the game, or we'd maybe get clawed back on a, you know, we're heading a game and we might lose a goal and draw the game. And we brought in Robin Singh and Senar Alti that gave us a little bit more experience. And it was amazing how, you know, if in winning positions we managed to hold on, or, you know, we didn't concede anything. And we're hoping that, you know, it's the same this year, you know. And I think the experience certainly helped in the first game when we lost our goal in 9 seconds. You know, I think back to our first season, if that had happened to us in our first season, you know, I think we might not have been in the I-League. We might have been back in the second division if that happened in the first one.
So, Real Kashmir, when you first came in, now I'm not going to touch all the political stuff. I don't want to know because you've spoken enough. For you, when you came in, first time they approached you, you were in the US and things you'd never heard of, you know, the club like this. So, what was it about the project that interested you? That too, at that time, probably second or third division of the hierarchy.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'd been in America for 10 years. I'd been, you know, there for a while. And I just wanted a change. I wanted to get back into the professional scene. And I was approached by an agent. And I really jumped at the chance. I didn't do any research on, obviously, I'd never been to India before. I'd never been to Kashmir. I had no idea of what I was letting myself in for. So, you know, I decided I would give it a go. My wife wasn't too happy. She was, you know, a bit pissed off, to be fair. She was, you know, having a nice lifestyle in the USA, and, you know, her crazy husband decides to, I'm going to go to India. So I jump on a flight. I think it was New Year's Day or New Year's Eve in 2017. You know, in a land, and, you know, I think every place in India is hot. But obviously when you arrive, and I actually had the longest journey ever. I started from Phoenix, and I think it was a 5-hour flight to, I think it was either Philadelphia, and then a 12-hour flight to Doha with an 8-hour layover. Then I took a, it was a 5-hour flight to Delhi, had about a 12-hour layover, then that hour flight to Srinagar. So I actually left on a Friday, arrived on a Monday. And, you know, you could imagine how tired I was. So, you know, and then when you hit Srinagar Airport, you know, from, you know, coming from the USA and the UK, it was a real culture shock, just, you know, arriving in the airport. And, you know, suddenly I get to the airport and it's cold. That was certainly wasn't what I was expecting. And then obviously we get the, you know, I arrived there, I was very tired. And, you know, within 2 days there was snow, we couldn't train. You know, there was no dressing rooms at the stadium. There was no, the players didn't have proper training kit. They just wore whatever they were wearing. So it was a bit of a culture shock, you know, coming from the USA and the UK where all the facilities are there and, you know, all the infrastructure is there. It was a real tough part at the start. And to be honest with you, within days I wanted to go home. And, you know, the Shamim at the time persuaded me to stay for a few weeks. And we actually played, I think I coached 2 games in the I-League 2. Believe it or not, one was against Sudeva and the other one was against, who was it? It might have been Hindustan, I'm not too sure. But it was just, no, it was Delhi United actually. So it was just a real culture shock, you know. I'm always open to opportunities and, you know, something a little bit different. But this was certainly different. It was well outside my comfort zone. And obviously when you're in Kashmir, you know, at that time of the year, there's power cuts. You know, there's no electricity for a couple of hours, you know, 2 or 3 times a day. Obviously, internet's patchy. So not only was in a strange place, a strange culture, I was just, I couldn't even communicate with my angry wife back in the USA. So that made it even worse. So, you know, probably about 4 or 5 weeks later, I was on the flight back to the USA. But, you know, I always knew that I would come back. It was, I think I had to go home to, I don't know, I just felt I had to get home to see, obviously, my family. And, you know, but I knew deep down that I was going to come back. And to be fair, I was persuaded to come back. And I actually took the team to Scotland, you know, that probably a few months later, we organised to take the team to Scotland, played 3 or 4 games there. You know, the team learned pretty quickly. It was a great experience for everyone. And you know, I think after that, I just had an affection for the club and the people. And to be fair, I was made to feel welcome. I was made to feel, you know, special. So it was just it was good. And then, you know, when we do the I-League 2 for when we won the league, you know, just setting it all up and just the joy, particularly when we came back to Srinagar Airport with the championship. You know, there's a lot of people there and it put a lot of smiles on faces. So it hasn't been easy, to be honest. You know, I mean, I think back to the I-League 2 where, you know, we would go on a trip to, and we're playing in Delhi. And I got no idea of the geography of India. So we're in Delhi and our next game's Pune City. So, you know, I get told that it's a 12-hour train journey. I was okay, that's fine. It turns out to end up it was 30 hours, a train journey. And, you know, and you think lying down for 30 hours, you know, it can't be that bad. But, you know, you're shaking about. And, you know, I think the players got off the train as if they'd been hit by a bus. They were all jolted. But do you know what? The one thing about the players, even now, you know, when things go wrong or they're up against things, they don't complain. They just got on with it. You know, it's just a dedication. I think it's something that the coaches have instilled into the team, into the group, that, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we'll just overcome it. You know, we've got a lot of hurdles, you know. And then we're talking about the final round in Bangalore. We set off from Pune to go to Bangalore. And I think it was by bus and it took 24 hours to get there. So, again, it was not the greatest preparation, but again, no one complained. Everyone got on with it. And I think that really helped us, you know, because a lot of the games we were up against it, we drew a lot of games. One game against Hindustan, we're 3-0 up in Srinagar, and somehow we managed to hang on for 3 each. So, you know, as I say, it's just been an adventure. In Pune as well, we arrived a day early, and we had nowhere to train. So we asked the hotel where we could train. So the hotel manager took us in his car, found this little patch of grass. So the next day, okay, we're going to train, but we couldn't get any buses. So we all went in the back of vegetable trucks to train in Pune. But again, the players didn't, you know, the players were coming off with carrots out their ears and, you know, potatoes in their head and all sorts. And they just got on with it. They didn't complain. And I think that it's almost like our team's got a real sort of working mentality. You know, there's no superstars. Everybody gets their rolls up their sleeves. And even to this day, you know, since I've been here, it's just how the team is. There's no superstars. Everybody helps each other. And to be fair, I think this season, the team spirit, it's the best it's ever been, you know. And it's hard because you're cooped up together on a corridor. You know, it'll be, 3-4 months by the time the season's finished. And there's been no issues, touch wood, so far. And again, I think it's down to how we prepare the team. And, you know, we're a very, you know, I look at a lot of teams in India and the coaches are very strict and stern. And we laugh with the players and relax them. And because I think if they're relaxed, you know, on the pitch, they won't be scared to make mistakes. And, you know, and we all know that players are going to mistakes. I played at a pretty high level and I made mistakes. And, you know, your David Beckhams, all the best players in the world make mistakes. So, you know, obviously the level we're at, we're going to make more mistakes. And it's important that they feel relaxed. And I just think that we've created a very, very good environment for players to come and play.
So one thing that you take from this is, like, people talk about, you know, the Indian football improving, ISL having this much money and pristine grass and everything. The run below, I always think I-League is the hardest league to win because of the travel. And you have to go to all the northeast places, come to Calicut, go to Srinagar, you know, north. Yeah, it's just crazy. The travel temperature, the extra, like, you know, the physical toll that it takes. there is mostly no direct flights also into some of these places as well. So would you not agree that this is quite hard league to win?
Yes, I think this season it's a little bit easier because the travel's not there. I know from where we are, you know, I remember one game we played Gokulam in Srinagar, and it was minus, I don't know what it was, minus something degrees. And I know Gokulam got snowed in, they couldn't get out. And they'd one or two players end up in hospital with hypothermia or some kind of illness. And, you know, obviously we've got the altitude as well. So after that game, you know, we end up, once we got on a flight, you're now going to play in Kerala, which is boiling hot. So you go from one extreme to the other. And plus, what a lot of people don't realise is that every time that the Al Kashmir play an away game, apart from playing in Punjab, we've got to get a flight to Delhi. And then more often than not, we've got to take, you know, come off the plane, get all our baggage, all the kit, everything, go on a bus, go to a hotel, and then leave early the next morning to get a flight to Imphal or Kerala or wherever we're going. So there's very few times that we can travel in one day based on times of flights. So, you know, what we find is that it takes us 2 days to get anywhere. So it's 2 days, basically, you're not going to train. And then suddenly you maybe get 1 day's training or two, and it's in a different climate, you know. And obviously we play on AstroTurf. All the, you know, majority of other clubs play on grass. So, as you say, it's a very, very difficult time, you know, place or league to be in. You know, I think, you know, like Aizawl is probably the hardest place to go in. I mean, the journey itself is horrendous enough. You know, from getting from the airport to, you know, the city centre where the games are, and then obviously the pitch itself. It's a big AstroTurf pitch, and I know the times we've been there, it's been boiling hot, and with the AstroTurf, it makes it even warmer. So, you know, I think whoever wins the I League, you know, in a normal season, really, really deserves it, because you're up against everything. You know, from one minute you go to play in, I remember the first year, you go and play at Salt Lake Stadium, you know, the world-class stadium, and then you go and play against Shillong on an AstroTurf pitch that's basically like a hockey pitch. So you go from one extreme to another. But again, I think the character of player that we've got, you know, we don't complain, we just get on with it. And I think that's very, very important. But, you know, I definitely agree that, you know, when you watch ISL, sometimes, you know, every stadium looks the same, every pitch is pristine, as you say. So it's very, you know, it's totally different. You know, I mean, I think some of the ISL players would find it difficult playing in the I-League.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to ask about this also, in terms of how do you convince players to come on a regular season to Kashmir? Because I spoke to Robin Singh, and Farooq Chaudhary was previously played with Lone Star, and they both had amazing experiences playing in Kashmir.
Yeah, I mean, I did think with, you know, Kashmir, it might be difficult to, you know, attract players to Kashmir. but I think, you know, there's a few things that help us. I think everyone knows that it's a well-run club and it's a well-supported club. You know, Callum Higginbottom came from Scotland last year, and he couldn't believe the support that we had at home at TRC. He said it was an incredible experience. But I think, you know, and obviously there's a lot of things going on in Kashmir, and I did think it might be difficult to attract players. But, you know, we get agents coming, and a lot of players, it's the first choice that's where they want to come, is to play for the Al Kashmir. And I think a lot of it's to do with, obviously, the fans, how the clubs run. And obviously, at the moment anyway, we're probably the most consistent club within staff, you know, coaches and people behind the scenes, that, you know, the owner doesn't chop and change all the time, you know. At the moment, you know, it's not a case of, you know, two. I know it's one club here's, you know, I think they played one game and they've changed the coach. And you hear all sorts of stories about, you know, coaches lasting two games and three games. And I think it's important for clubs to have a bit of consistency with a coach. And I've been fortunate that, you know, Real Kashmir's done that for me. But I think it's helped the players, it's helped the area. But I know at some point that'll come to an end. And then, you know, whoever comes in after me, I'd imagine they'll get the same support, you know, 3-4 years or whatever, because I don't think it's fair to, you know, move coaches out after a few games or even a season, because more often than not, from what I believe, I mean, I'm fortunate I select all the players. I know some clubs in India, you know, they've got sporting directors that, you know, they pick the players, and then suddenly they hire a coach that's, you know, got a style of play that he has to try and make it work with a group of players. So I think bit by bit, you know, we've evolved, and, you know, we've, you know, obviously we've got a style of play that can change as well. And, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, I'm the one that brings all the players in. I do the negotiations and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that's really has helped us as a club.
Okay. So now I just want to talk a little bit about you, because I was doing some research on you personally. And you were part of that Scottish, a time in Scotland where you had the European champions, I think, when you were growing up. Alex Ferguson's Aberdeen, you were a youth player at the time, I assume?
Yeah, no, it was good. I Alex Ferguson actually signed me when I was 13 or 14 years old as in a schoolboy form for Aberdeen. That's my hometown team. And, you know, it was always a dream and my, you know, desire to go and play for my local team. And, you know, Alex Ferguson's, you know, dedication and attention to detail was incredible. He knew every youth player's name in Aberdeen, in the city of Aberdeen. He'd go and watch youth games. He'd watch any game. And then, you know, he was the one that, it doesn't happen these days, but he's the one that signs the players at 13, 14 years old, you know, for future Aberdeen players. And as I said, I was very, very fortunate that I was part of his plans. And again, you know, being supporting Aberdeen, I think it was a schoolboy form when Aberdeen won the Cup Winners' Cup. They beat Real Madrid and they beat Bayern Munich. You know, it seems like with Alex Ferguson at Aberdeen, it was going to happen all the time. But now, you know, I think when you look back, you think it's an amazing achievement a club like Aberdeen could go and win, you know, go and beat Real Madrid, 2-1 in the European Cup Winners' Cup. They beat Hamburg in the Super Cup. It was amazing to be a part of it. Well, not to be a part of it, but I was a ball boy at the time, believe it or not. So I was behind the goals when they were playing in those games. And then, you know, I was fortunate enough that at 17 years old, Alex Ferguson gave me my first game for Aberdeen. But he was very hard. He was, you know, I think the one thing, and I think it's come into my playing career and coaching career, is that he never knew what defeat was. You know, there was one game we played, Celtic. I was in the youth team. I was only 15 at the time. It was under-18s. We played against Celtic under-18s at Pittodrie, which is Aberdeen Stadium. And the first team had won the league, you know, a few days earlier. And it was the last game of the season. But they wanted to present the trophy at the home stadium. And it just so happened we were playing in the Scottish Cup final, big game. And there was about 15, 20,000 at the game to watch the game. So bearing in mind, some of us are 14, 15. And Alex Ferguson had an assistant called Willie Garner, and he took the team. And he said, look, you know, the first team's here, the gaffer's here, and there's a big crowd here. Go out here and enjoy it, and don't let yourselves down, and what have you. So yeah, I think at halftime, we came in, we're 2 or 3 nothing down at halftime. And Willie Garner says, you know, damage limitation, look, just, you know, no more goals, be out nice and sensible the second half. And at that point, the door flew open, and in come Alex Ferguson. And he went around the whole player from the goalkeeper all the way around the subs, didn't miss anyone. Basically, you know, slaughtered us all, told him what he thought, told him it wasn't good enough. And it seemed like it was 60 seconds it took, and it seemed like it was about 5 minutes. And bearing in mind, I think I was 14 or 15 at the time, everybody was gobsmacked thinking, what just happened here? You know? An amazing thing was we went out and we won 5-3. And we won the Scottish Cup, which was an amazing achievement. And if it wasn't for Alex Ferguson, that wouldn't have happened. And then you look at him now, or when he was co-managing, you know, you look at the time when they won the Champions League in the last, they were a goal down in injury time. And not only they came back to draw, they came back to win the game. And they go on about Fergie time, but I just think it's his belief and his desire and motivation that's been the secret to success. And I was fortunate that, you know, during my career, I played, you know, a number of games for him. I remember one time we played against Clydebank. We won 5-0. And I made one mistake the whole game and he crucified me for it. Most coaches, if you win 5-0, everything's great, everything's good. But he was just such a perfectionist. And, you know, even if we didn't play well and won, he'd let you know about it. But to be fair, any time he gave you any stick or a hard time on the Monday morning, he would always take you in his office and explain to you what he meant. And again, if there's good performances, he would, you know, praise you as well. So there's no surprise that he went on to do what he did.
And then you moved on to Rangers.
Yeah.
So at 9 titles in a row, you're part of 6 of them, the far end of the, you know, the European 6 of them. Now Celtic equaled it, and this year it looks like Rangers is going to, you know, beat them again. How big an achievement was that to be part of that team? Because I was looking at some names. So Ali McCoy is in there, Paul Jasko in a team, yeah, at that time.
Yeah.
So like Alex McLeish also. So just, that was a great team. And we in India don't really know much about it.
Yeah, no, I was fortunate that I moved from, I don't know, a lot of people know in India, but I moved from Aberdeen to Rangers, and leaving Aberdeen, going to Rangers, it's like going to the enemy. It's like going to the devil. You know, there's such a fierce rivalry, and I actually got death threats when I signed for Rangers through the mail. So it was very, very difficult time for my family, my brother, and, you know, my sister and my mum and dad. It was very, very difficult for them because they were still living in Aberdeen at the time, and Scotland's a small place. You know, the population of Scotland's 5 million people. And, you know, Aberdeen is a city. I think it's about 300,000 people. You know, Glasgow's probably about 1 million. So it's a bit of a goldfish bowl. So anywhere you go in Glasgow, people know who you are. And not only have you got Aberdeen supporters not liking you, you know, you've got the rivalry between Celtic. And sometimes in Glasgow, you've got to be careful where you go, being a Rangers player. So, you know, sometimes you've got to become a bit of a recluse when you're playing for the Rangers or Celtic. But the team itself, you know, I was very fortunate that I walked into quite a, you know, a very sort of vociferous squad. A lot of personalities. You mentioned Ali McCoist and Paul Gascoigne. They were like, you know, jokers. And I think the atmosphere, again, I think for a number of the championships, the first three that I won, I think we were a good team, but we're a good team off the field, and we got on well with each other. Maybe not the best team on the field, but it was the togetherness that made us successful. And then we brought in the Paul Gascoignes, the Brian Laudrups. You know, Paul Gascoigne was, you know, a top class international at England, played at Lazio, played at Spurs, you know, almost got to World Cup final with England. So fortunate to play with him and Brian Laudrup, who we signed from AC Milan. So we had big, big name players, and I was just very fortunate that, you know, coming from where I did with the background I had to rub shoulders with those guys. And, you know, and it's probably one of the most successful eras of the, you know, Rangers history. And, you know, I think I'm glad it looks like Celtic won't win the 10th one, because if they were to win the 10th one, the 9 that we achieved means nothing anymore. So you know, hopefully that, you know, Rangers finished the job. Looks like they're going to win the league. You know, they've came back from the dead almost. So if that happens, my status as a 9-0 legend or player still remains for at least another 10 years anyway.
You spoke a little bit about the rivalry. If this Old Firm game is probably the Celtic Rangers one, is probably one of the most crazily contested game. Right? There's a story I read somewhere that you broke your friend Joe Miller's ribs or something like tackling. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we were at Aberdeen together, the schoolboys. Well, he lived in Glasgow, but we were both signed schoolboy forms by Alec Ferguson, and we both played in the first team together with Alec Ferguson, and he was my roommate. So we go on away games, and I was always Joe's roommate. Obviously, we'd, you know, meet up outside, you know, go and play snooker and do all those kind of things. And then he signed for Celtic, and then I signed for Rangers. So we played in a Scottish Cup semi-final. So Archie Knox was the assistant manager. And in those days, an Old Firm game, you could basically do anything you wanted in the first 5-10 minutes. You could just, you know, put a marker down. You could just kick the shit out of somebody, put in a really hard tackle over the top. And I think because, you know, it's when you play in those games, the noise is so, with supporters, it's so loud that you can't hear anyone. You can't hear your teammates talking to you. It's so loud. And it's not just for 5 minutes, it's for 90 minutes. So you're almost on your own. But the last words I had was, make sure you sort out Joe Miller. So I went for a, he knocked the ball past me and I just followed through, and I think I broke his ribs and I was sent off, got a red card after 6 minutes in the game. So we were playing with 10 men. And obviously when you get sent off, you've got to go into the dressing room. And, you know, because the stadium is so, well, so big and it's the atmosphere is so loud, all I could hear was the stamping on the roof of the dressing room. And then I heard a noise. It was a goal. And I thought, oh, no, Celtic. Because you presumed that Celtic would score. And then, you know, our kit man comes in. And just to tell me the score that Ali McCoy scored, we're 1-0 up. And then the second half, I got taken up to the stand area, into the stadium. And I was basically held by security guys. I don't know what they thought I was going to do. But anyway, we Rangers survived. And like I said to you, the team spirit got us through it, you know, because Celtic were hitting the post, hitting the bar. Players were throwing themselves in front of the goal to save the ball. And fortunately, we won the game 1-0. And, you know, you'll be happy to know that I've spoken to Joe Miller since. So everything's fine with him. But it's just, I think it's just the passion of the game. And particularly, you're playing against a friend. You don't want your friend to get the better of you. And maybe on that night, I went a little bit, a bit over the score, should you say.
So I just wanted to ask this. Do you, at that time, football at that time, was a lot more rougher, players were a lot more rougher on the edges, and all this sports science had not come in. You used to, after the game, you used to go to bars and things like that. Yeah. The culture was so different, right? Are you happy that you played at the time when it was like this and not how it is now?
Yeah, but I think I enjoyed it. You know, our captain, Richard Goff, had a saying, the team that drinks together wins together. And we had a fair share of nights out. And it wasn't even nights out. Sometimes it was days out. You'd go out for a day and, you know, at the end of the season, Walter Smith would take us away to places like Monte Carlo and, you know, and you just, you know, have a party kind of thing. So I think that was the motto back then that, you know, after games, you'd maybe go into the players lounge and have a few beers and go for meals and stuff. And it was a real fun time. I think, you know, I think when what I hear from some of the bigger clubs now is that the identity's gone a little bit. It's a little bit, you know, I'm not saying what we did was right, but there should be a bit of a balance. You know, I hear now that a lot of the clubs with different foreign players, different nationalities coming in England and Scotland, is that, you know, there's a group of Italians at one corner, there's a group somewhere else, and the togetherness isn't quite as much, you know. So I think that would come onto the field as well. Whereas us, you know, we were, you know, I remember one time at Rangers, we had, in the space of 2 weeks, we had probably the busiest and most successful period. I think we played Leeds United in the qualifiers for the Champions League. We beat them. In the midweek, on the Saturday or the Sunday, we played. I was on the Wednesday. On the Sunday, we played in the League Cup final against Aberdeen. We won that. We then played Leeds United in the second leg. We won that. Obviously, we had a night out. 2 days later, we're playing against Celtic at Celtic Park. And, you know, I think a lot of us had a hangover, and we beat Celtic on the Saturday. So it was just a case of, you know, no one thought anything. But I think in today's game, players will, you know, with the sports science and what have you, players play a little bit longer. You know, unfortunately, my career came to an end when I was about 30. With a lot, probably from the age of 28 onwards, my, you know, injuries and knees, because there wasn't the recovery and there wasn't the, as you say, the sports science and, you know, cool downs and yoga. There was none of that in my day. So, and the amount of times as a player, I would play maybe with some painkilling injections to play. I'd play with injuries. Of a fitness test, my knee was all swollen up, but I'd still play. And maybe that's why my career finished a little bit earlier. But I certainly wouldn't, you know, change anything that's been, you know, part of my career. I certainly wouldn't change anything.
So now I'm just going to give you a few names that you played with. I just wanted to get your opinion on. Let's start with not someone who played it. Let's start with Alex Ferguson. You said the story about him. What was he like, a man?
As a man, Alex Ferguson, no, he was, I was, the one thing I remember about him was, he knows everything. He knows absolutely everything. And I was 13 years old, and on Monday night, we had to train, you know, when you finish primary school, you go to high school, and all the players that played in the primary school select on a Monday night train at Pittodrie at the stadium, and Alec Ferguson would always watch it. And I'd never met the man before, but I remember he came. I had to take two buses to get home, so I was at the bus stop beside the stadium to go home, and Alec Ferguson drove past in his Mercedes, and David got in the car. I was even surprised that he knew my name. And he didn't even ask where I lived. He took me straight to my house. That's just the detail that the man's got. And then there was one time when, this is actually quite a funny story. So every Friday, Archie Knox was Alec Ferguson's assistant. So they'd play this game in the gym. It's like a tiny little gym in at Pittodrie in the stadium. It was under the family stand. And it had like painted goals on the wall. So there's two or three of them. And the game is you've got one touch. So what he would do, he'd take all the apprentices, all the young players, to watch them play. But the problem was he would pick two or three of you to be the referee. So you can imagine if Alec Ferguson went, Archie's going to give you a punishment. If Archie wins, Alec Ferguson's going to give you a punishment. So this particular day, there was me and two others that were refereeing the game. So Archie won. So Alec Ferguson says, right, that's it. And it was coming winter time, so around about 4 or 5 o'clock, it gets dark. And it's cold, winter time. So he says, right, you three, you got to wash my car. Now, Fergie's car, because he drove so much, there was flies, and it was always so dirty. And because it was getting dark, and we wanted to get home, we walked. And we got the buckets and the sponges and what have you. And we walk out the front door, and we're thinking, this is going to take forever to clean this car. So what we decided to do was, right, what we'll do is we'll just throw the bucket over, the water over, just to make sure it's wet. And it's getting dark. He's not going to notice it till the morning. And like I said to you, his attention to detail is incredible. So there's two doors. So we put the buckets back. There's two doors. We walk towards the first door. We get through that door, and we're going to the next one that gets you outside. And then all you hear is Fergie shouting, "Oh, you, where are you going? Where the fuck are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going?" And then we sort of stood, three of us stood for a minute, and we're going, like, what do we do? What do we do? So we decided to run. So we ran out, and it was quite funny because we ran out, and Robert, one of the other guys, he had his dad's car. So we piled into his car. And there's, if this is a window, we're all sort of underneath the window looking out, and Fergie's out there running to the bus stop, running everywhere in a panic that we weren't there. So in those days there was no mobile phones, so the first person, Robert, he was home first because his dad's car. I had two buses to take. Scott was, you know, a bit further away. He actually got called at night to go back down in the dark and clean his car. So he's a hard taskmaster, but you know, I think it, everybody that was part of any part of Alec Ferguson's career, I think you become a hungrier person.
Ali McCoy, for me, he is a voice in football. He used to commentate, and he was there on FIFA in the early 2000s. Yeah. That was him. So that's how I know Ali McCoy, and other than some highlights here and there.
Yeah, Ali McCoy is, you know, obviously as a player, he's the all-time Rangers goal scorer. Fantastic person, but what a personality is. He's incredible. My first recollection of Ali McCoy was when I was playing for Aberdeen. And the Rangers won the league title at Aberdeen Stadium, and I was only 17 at the time. And that game, I actually woke up in a hospital at night. I can't even remember anything. And Ali McCoist gave me a forearm smash off the ball, knocked me out. And, you know, it's quite funny because I'm doing an autobiography that I'm doing with Alistair Aird. It's coming out in the end of March. There's a lot of former players have asked, you know, were asked to say a few words about me. And it was quite funny, his part, because he says, you know, I know that David was a real tough character. And, you know, like, I didn't take any prisoners, you know, but if I was playing against somebody, even in training, I wouldn't think twice of taking somebody out. And, you know, he said to me, he said in the little bit he said was that, you know, he remembers when he knocked me out, ended up in hospital. He says, I was always waiting for David to take me out in training. And in the 6 years, I never did it. So I probably still owe him one. But no, he's a fantastic, he's a joke a minute. You know, he's just lively. You know, there was him, Ian Durant, Ali McCoist, Mark Hately in that corner where every day at Ibrox training, it was just so funny. They were just the funniest people alive. And you wouldn't think they're these high-profile superstars. Just great people.
The next one is Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, Paul Gascoigne's obviously a genius on the field. You know, it's sad in the way how he is. You know, he's got some, you know, issues, you know, personal issues that, you know, unfortunately, they're always public because of his, you know, obviously the fame that he's had and the career he's had. So, you know, it's sad when you see it. I remember when we'd play games, away games, he'd sit next to me and he'd ask me, you know, he'd pour his heart out to me. It was a little bit of an agony aunt for him at times. He would tell me all these issues. And it's so sad because, you know, he's an incredible player that I think during his career, there's a lot of people that have taken advantage of him because of his fame and, you know, and he's maybe trusted the wrong people. But a fantastic guy. And another one, he's a, you know, we at Rangers, we had to come in with a collar and tie every day at training. And he loved to go fishing. So he came in one day with a collar and tie and a pair of waders on, you know, the rubber waders all the way up here. He'd been fishing. He came in with two fish and he planted it in one of the players' cars, put a fish in the car, put it under where the wheel is, but he then put one in another part. So Gordon Jury was the player. And what he did was he found the first fish and he says, oh, my car still stinks. And weeks later, he didn't realise there was two fish in it. It was joke. As I say, it was just joke a minute, you know. Every time you came into Ibrox in the morning, you had to make sure that, you know, by the time you left, somebody hadn't, you know, taken your trousers, your shirt, your tie. Because often than not, you know, some of the players would actually, you know, decide to wear your clothes home and you wouldn't have clothes to wear home. They're just, as I say, I think that just made the whole dressing room. But Gazza, you know, from the time I knew him there, fantastic player, you know, great fun. But it's just really sad to see how he is now.
So this is something that I just thought the other day when I was watching a Maradona documentary and same with Gosman also. I think if they had played at this generation, they would have been completely, whatever happened afterwards would not have happened to them. They would have been much better taken care of.
Yeah, I think so for sure. You know, Diego Maradona, he's my all-time favourite player. I loved him. But I think on the field as well, when you look at Maradona, the abuse that he took and the tackles he took, I mean, my day was quite rough, but it was even worse in those days. You know, I mean, people, some of the tackles that Maradona had, they should have been put to jail, let alone just yellow cards. But no, you're right. I think nowadays clubs, you know, that there's a lot more help with mental illness. You know, and you're maybe prepared a little bit more for what's life like outside football, dealing with media. Because I know a lot of people fight. I've never been. You know, when I stopped playing it, okay, it's sad, but I was lucky I went into coaching and you still got that little bit. But you get some people that have had the fame and adulation that, you know, suddenly one day it just stops and they can't cope. And, you know, the financial part of it as well, that, you know, as a football player, you're well looked after, but, you know, the money, you know, I'm not saying it runs out, but there's only a certain span that you can earn good money before you become a normal person, really. And, you know, for me, I've been fortunate that my wife's always looked after money, so there's no issues there. And, you know, but I just look at some of the real superstars, your Maradonas, Paul Gascoigne's, that, you know, it's, you know, maybe they were badly advised or taken advantage of. And as I say, I think, you know, there's all these players' unions now that help, you know, players if they're in difficulties or, you know, even they give them advice, some counselling as well, which I think is important.
The last part is just quick fire question that I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Who was the best player you played with?
Brian Laudrup. He was at AC Milan. He won the European Championships with Denmark. Just a fantastic talent. I linked up well with him. He was on the same side. I was left back. He played in front of me. And I would give him the ball and just run. And he would give me the ball back. Just an amazing player. He could win a game on his own. Incredible player.
Who was the best you played against?
The best I played against, I was fortunate enough to play against David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Mark Overmars. But I think Beckham, I think just based on the fact that, you know, he wasn't going to beat you for pace. but somehow, no matter how where you positioned your body, he'd managed to get a cross in. So, and then you've seen, I think as well, you know, not only that, when you know you see him, the dedication he's got, you know, even I think he was, you know, in his late 30s and he's still playing at the top level because he looked after himself and because he's got the hunger. You know, he's obviously got all the money in the world he needs, but he just wanted to keep playing and keep improving. Just an incredible player.
So coming to India, who's the best player that you've seen in Indian football? An Indian and a foreigner?
Foreigner. I think in the ISL, I don't even know his name, the guy that scores all the goals, I think he was at Mumbai before. I think he's I think he's at Blasters. He's at Blasters now, is he? Not 100% sure. He was one of the foreign players. I know we played against him when we played in Mumbai City a few times, and I think he's still playing now. You know, goal scorer. He's obviously one of the top goal scorers. I think he's been the best one. I think in the I League. Pardon?
Is it Ogbete?
That's him. Yes. Yeah, I think he's probably the best one. You know, and obviously there's, you know, he talks about Chetri and what have you, but there's a number of, you know, good players. I mean, I think, you know, there's one player that we had at Real Kashmir, Ritvik Das. I think when he gets his chance, he could be one of the top players in India. You know, we had him for 2 years. I got him from a trial in Kolkata where, you know, Kolkata is a hotbed of Indian football and no one knew about him. And he's just he's a sensation, the kid. So I think, you know, if he gets the opportunities and injuries are okay, I think he could end up being, you know, a superstar, you know. But I think it's very difficult when it's his first season at Kerala Blasters. It's very difficult to break on the scene. You know, the league's so tight and coaches can't really take chances. So it's difficult that way. But, you know, I think the I-League itself, there's been some, you know, good players over the years. I liked, you know, Pedro Manzi that played for Chennai City. I think he was a, you know, fantastic goal scorer. I think it was just something that he was just something different. You know, not many teams have those type of players that can just, you know, a goal scorer, but also, you know, an experienced player that knows how to use his body. But no, I think we've been very, very fortunate. You know, I know a number of players in the league, and I think it's good now that, you know, my knowledge is quite vast with Indian football. So when it comes to the end of the season to look for players, I already know the players that I would like, particularly the players from India. So, but the level's getting stronger and stronger all the time. And, you know, I think whether or not it's a good idea that they've reduced the foreign players for the I-League remains to be seen. You know, I think one of the issues that they were talking about was that, you know, when you ask if there's any Indian strikers for the I-League, and there's virtually none, because that's where all the foreign, you know, players go up front. And I think if you reduce the foreigners in time, hopefully that'll give up more opportunities.
So this is the last question. It's a two-parter.
Okay.
So I want to know the funniest moment that you had on the field as a player and in your time in Indian football.
I know at Real Kashmir we've had some incredible, you know, funny things that have come in, and we try and make everything lighthearted. But I think, you know, well, one of the funniest things was I was actually staying in a house in Kashmir, Shamim's house, and it's not related to football, but it's part of the journey. And my wife likes a hot bed, electric blanket. So obviously in the UK there's sort of standards that it can only go to a certain heat. So in Kashmir there's, you know, power cuts go out. So what they do is the electric blankets, they're on your bed. So when the power goes out, you get cold. But when the power goes back on, there's a surge and it heats your bed up again. So, you know, even if you're sleeping, it's okay. So this particular electric blanket, I thought to Kim, I says, oh my God, this is really hot. And I thought, I might take some home because they're hotter than what they are in the UK. And so she's, oh, okay. 2 nights later, my bed went on fire. So I was calling at 2 a.m. saying, my bed's on fire. What do I do? So I'm pouring water on it, switching electric off, threw it out the window, and it just boom. So Obviously, I didn't take any electric blankets back. But there's just, you know, I think in India, you know, I think coming from where I come from and the hurdles and everything that happens, it's just been a total adventure. And I could go on for hours and hours of, you know, stories that have happened. You know, I think playing-wise, probably the... It's maybe funny when you think back, but it's a sort of Alec Ferguson kind of story. I played my first game for Aberdeen. It was a friendly game. We played against Dunfermline, and it was an away game. And I was only, I think it was 16 or 17 at the time, and there was a player, John Watson, this big, massive guy, 6'6", red hair, typical Scotsman, butchers anything. And I go for a header, maybe 10 minutes before half-time, and he just goes, bang, knocks my two front teeth out, and there's blood everywhere. And I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I'm thinking, oh, it's only 10 minutes to half-time. Oh, he'll take me off. So he came in at half-time and basically had a go at me to be a man. Man up, man up. So I go out and play the second half. And then when I go home, when I go back, because we didn't get back till maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, I used to share a car with my sister, my mother's car. And and again, in those days, there was no mobile phones. So I didn't know. She had the car, but she left it somewhere. So I had to go and find it. I couldn't find it. So I went back into the stadium and I had to use a payphone. But as I'm using the payphone, the doors are getting locked. So I ended up having to, you know, make alert to the physio, was the guy who was closing the gates up. I basically had to bang the window and eventually smash the window, cut my hand, and just to get myself home.
Yeah.
Hello? You still there? Yeah. And so obviously, you can imagine the stick the next day I got when Alec Ferguson sort of pulled me in, that I'd smashed the window. I got locked inside Pittodrie. So it was an eventful first debut game for Aberdeen.
Thank you so much for your time. It was actually very enlightening. A lot of the things that you said, I would have never heard or thought of. So yeah, it was great.
As I say, it's been an adventure. My whole career has been an adventure, and you know, more so in India. And it's as long as it lasts, it's fantastic.
Okay, I think I have some problem with connectivity. I can't hear you clearly.
Okay, I just think my whole career has been a bit of an adventure, throughout the my career, you know, and more so in India. And I just feel that, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of my time in India, and you know, hopefully it continues for a bit longer.
Absolutely, I hope you get Real Kashmir into the ISL.
I think that's the long-term goal, is for the club to do that. That would be nice to see. Whether I'm here or not, it would be nice to see.
No, I want you guys to be there and you to take them there, so that I want to see how they deal with your football.
Yeah,
so I think it's going to be very difficult.
Exactly.
When it's going to be very, very good fun. So for that, I think you have to stick around for at least 3 more years.
Okay, well, that would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice to do that, yes.
Absolutely. So hopefully I'll get to see you in person soon.
Yeah, no problem. Once all this COVID's finished, I'm sure we can get together.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.